Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of Colossians chapter 2, we finished verses 9 and 10 and are beginning a new passage today.
The Bible stands though the hills may tumble.
It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble.
I will plant my feet on this firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Thank you for listening today to the Lamp and Light Ministry. Today we begin a new message or new study on Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 through 15, as we go verse by verse through this great book. And I have titled Colossians 2, 11 through 15, The New Circumcision. Now, if you will want a copy of this message that will be airing over the next few days, then let me encourage you to write us. Our announcer will be giving you our address at the conclusion of each day's broadcast. And just write and let us know that you would like the study on CD. Send a gift of $5. And put in the title, The New Circumcision, or put in Colossians 2, 11 through 15. And then also include your address and the radio station over which you listen to the Lamp and Light broadcast. And we'll get that out to you as quickly as possible. Now, also, let me encourage you to call others and ask them to listen in too. That's how the Lamp and Light ministry grows. If you would like to support this ministry financially, let me lay some ground rules for you. First of all, we do not want your tithe. Your tithe belongs to your local church. Anything that you give here should be an offering. It should be above your regular tithe and offering that you give to your local church. This ministry in no way takes the place of the local church, and hopefully we are supplemental to it. So make sure that money goes in there. But the Lord lays on your heart to send this ministry money, then make sure that it's not a tithe, okay? And then just mail it to us. You will be receipted for that, and we appreciate anything that you do in that area. Our text is Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. So please follow along now as I prepare to read it. Have your King James Bible ready, pencil and paper to take notes. And there we read, "In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Verses 11 through 15 are almost as a homiletics class in college, in which they teach young preachers how to outline a sermon. Now, verse 11 gives the main outline, and then verses 12 through 15 expound on that. This passage deals with New Testament circumcision. The Apostle Paul found that everywhere he went, there were Jews teaching that Gentiles couldn't be saved until they became Jews first. Therefore, they must submit to circumcision, the outward sign of a relationship with God. Paul lets them know, with the coming of Christ is a new covenant and a new circumcision, and he addresses that in these verses. Now, the first thing I want you to see is the character of the new circumcision. In verse 11, He says, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. In other words, this is not made with hands, but it's wrought by the Spirit of God. This circumcision is not external, but it is inward. The extent of this circumcision is the whole body, not just one organ. The author of this circumcision is the Lord Jesus Christ, and not Moses. The circumcision was not a religious rite or act. No, this circumcision is a reality. This reality of the new circumcision is symbolized best by the ordinance of baptism. Verse 12 said, buried with him in baptism. The word baptize means to immerse. Baptism shows us three things. It shows us Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. If you've been in the baptismal service in a Baptist church and you've seen the preacher put the person all the way under the water and then bring them up, and that's a picture of Christ dying for us, being buried, and raising from the dead. It also shows that we are dead to an old life and risen to walk in a new life of Christ. And this baptism is symbolical. It typifies the new circumcision of the putting off the body of sins of the flesh. Now, again, understand I say it typifies. It's symbolical. Baptism does not wash away your sins. Okay? And the Bible does not teach that it does. Sometimes you ask a person if they're going to heaven, they say, well, I've been baptized. That doesn't mean beans. That does not get you to heaven. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. And he is the only way to heaven. Now consider this idea of baptism in verse 12. It is the first act of obedience after a person is saved. Jesus was baptized and he said it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. And he was setting an example for us. In Matthew chapter 28 verses 18 through 20, after the resurrection, it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, that is his disciples, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Peter told the people in Acts chapter 2 that they also needed to be baptized. The early church identified publicly with Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, they felt that the sprinkling of blood when a baby was dedicated was not enough. In other words, they thought, no, this baptism needs to be as the Bible shows baptism to be. During Luther's time, the Lutherans and the Catholics would hold Anabaptists underwater until they drowned. Now, later that act was condemned by many Lutherans, as in Rome in 250 B.C., this group that baptized were called Anabaptists, and they were offended because they rebaptized those people after they got saved. At that time, many were teaching that, no, you baptize them at birth. You'd sprinkle water on them, and that was baptism. Or they would even immerse them underwater. They actually would immerse babies underwater back then. And as a matter of fact, immersion was the mode of baptism in the Catholic Church and about all churches. And then it became sprinkling, became a thing years and years and years later. But even then it was called baptism, whether it was sprinkling the years later or before that when everybody immersed. But what I'm trying to say is that this idea of baptism coming after your salvation and people that have been baptized as babies or being rebaptized, they thought, man, these are heretics. It was enough to be baptized when they were babies. I think of Sergei Kordakov, who worked with the KGB in the Soviet Union during the years of the Soviet power. And he told of working with the KGB and finding private baptisms and beating those people, and some of them being drowned, even the preachers being drowned that were doing the baptizing. History shows that much blood was shed just to carry out this command of baptism after salvation. We're buried with him in baptism. Philippians 3:10 calls it the fellowship of his sufferings. Verse 12 says we're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. And that word operation is the Greek word energia. We get our word energy from it. It's defined as working efficiency. In the New Testament, it's used only of superhuman power, whether that's the power of God or of the devil. Baptism symbolizes the supernatural work of God in our salvation. Now, baptism does not take the place of anything. Baptism does not save you. It's rather, it's an act of obedience to show what Christ has done in you. But actually, Christ is the one that saves us. Salvation is of the Lord. It is a work that we cannot do. Water baptism does not save us because it involves man's hand. Salvation is the operation of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. Now, through the faith and without saving faith, baptism is a meaningless, empty ritual. Let me say that again. Through the faith, and by that I mean those that say, well, this is our doctrine, this is what we believe, and they don't have a saving faith. Baptism is a meaningless ritual. And notice verse 11. Putting off means, in the Greek, to strip off from oneself as clothes or armor. And the idea in the Greek is not just taking off, but getting away from it. It is stripping off the old nature as a filthy garment and casting it aside. Sometimes, you ladies, you'll see your husband or your kids' clothes, and it seems like they're strewn from one end of the house to the other. Well, just think of putting off of the old sin. You don't like it, and you don't want it on your floors. You don't want it in each room. You just don't want it there. Don't like sin in any room of your life. The idea is that the old nature, oh, it's still there, but it's not on the throne. The old clothes, they're still in the house. They're just not on the person any longer. Not that the clothes are eradicated. They're just put off. Your old nature's not eradicated. It's still there in that old body, that old house that you possess. But my friend, it doesn't have to rule your life. The old nature is not eradicated when you got saved. But its power is broken. It doesn't have to sit on the throne of your life. The flesh, however, lurks about the throne, trying to usurp its authority. Our physical instruments, that is our body, are not to be yielded as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yielded as instruments of righteousness unto God. Listen as I read Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 14, and I'll comment on those verses as I go along. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And let not sin therefore reign, in other words, be the king, be the ruler, let not sin reign in your mortal body, the body you live in, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members would be your hands, your feet, your legs, your mind, your thinking, your mouth, and your ears, and your body, okay? Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.